Welcome to Trust the Journey. I'm Jason Maletsky.
And I'm Melanie Curtis.
Our mission is to live, laugh, love, and learn together with you.
We're here to create conscious connections, to grow and contribute through our practice of openness, honesty, vulnerability, humility, and trust. Trusting the entire journey.
If you want to find us on the wider internet, our website is trustthejourney.today, and all of our social media is the same. Right on, family. Thank you so much for being here with us. Here we go.
All right. Yeah, guys, in this episode, we are talking about communication. So we're going to go into what goes into the highest quality communication in our experiences, the nuances, the subtleties, unspoken, outspoken, really considering considering listening, considering being heard, quote unquote, and really looking at the different forms of communication we use and the levels of connection we create through those forms.
I was thinking about this morning in the shower, and I thought to myself, as I first dove into the topic, you know, I'd been stewing on it a little bit, and then of course, the first place where it really, like some light bulbs went off, was when we're not talking to each other. And what I mean by that is there's a couple different instances. One is when we're communicating in other ways, when we're picking up on the little details that somebody else is giving off, whether it's through body language or eye contact, and just getting these little tiny hints that are coming from the way that we're doing things and not necessarily what we're saying. And then the other one, which is in the same zone of not speaking, is when we stop speaking, mm-hmm. when there's like a silence and the verbal communication goes away. And it's almost, many times it's more powerful when somebody stops talking than when they are talking. And that just led me into the idea about how many ways we actually communicate, like the true variances that are out there in this topic. And it just opened the topic up for me.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I did a similar thing. So basically, I think when we, at least for me, I'm very engaged in conversational communication, whether it's here on the podcast talking with you, you know, because we're creating an audible version of content and value for our audience. So this is a conversational communication thing. In my life coaching, it's conversational. But I was definitely reflecting, like, that is only one form of communication. And I definitely wrote some notes about the same stuff, body language, eye contact, physical touch, you know, that type of stuff. That's like really, it's less talked about, I think. I mean, that's not true. There's probably loads and loads of information out there. It's just something I talk about less, you know what I mean? So I was excited to look at that, you know what I mean?
Do you feel that it's that because we default to verbal as our initial, like when we say communication, the very first descriptor is verbal. We think listening and speaking and what's coming out of our mouth and coming in our ears.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I obviously, at least for me, and maybe it's not obvious, but for me, I definitely think that if you're walking around in life without conversational skills, like without the skills and abilities to put words together to communicate yourself and foster clarity with another human being in whatever situation you're in, you're likely to have a life experience that's less connected, less clear, likely more anxiety. So I definitely stand for and believe and champion people into conversational communication skills, right? Whether it's social skills, whether it's how do I create ease in a conversation when I walk up to strangers at an event, or how do I feel, you know, able to communicate myself in a conflict scenario. Like, there's so many different forms of conversational communication skills. You know what I mean? So I think those are really important to care about. You know what I mean? Like, if we don't have those, will just likely feel less connected. And that's not awesome. Like, that's one of the biggest reflections I thought about for this episode too, is like, why do we care about this? What is the value of this episode? You know? And for me, it's like, okay, it fosters communication, fosters connection for us. You know, it allows us to feel, like you said, you mentioned being feeling heard. You know what I mean? Allowing us to really hear another, recognize, you know, that type of stuff. So I always go to the deep stuff of, why does this matter? Do I care to feel seen and heard? You know what I mean? Most people, I think, do. You know what I mean? And I think that's why putting effort into the conversational skills has value for people. You know what I'm saying? But it's definitely only one piece of the pie, you know, like, for sure only one piece of the pie.
Being able to articulate yourself, being able to get a thought or a feeling, even more importantly, a thought at times is often easier to articulate, at least for me, than a feeling. A feeling is an experiential, you know, emotional state, and trying to turn that into words can be very challenging. But either one, trying to get to share an insight from inside and put it outside so that other people can identify with it, relate to it empathically, experience it, and then relate with that relating, you know, we connect and we feel like, okay, now somebody understands what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking or what I'm going through, and therefore they can empathize, and therefore we are able to see our true self in each other and say, yes, this has been something that I understand, or I've been through, or I can relate to. And it's such a feeling of ease that comes just from being able to share that. Just the practice of being able to get something out of the mouth so that somebody else can understand it lets us have an ease about us, which is strange, right? Like, it's, nothing's really changed. We've just, somebody else has just been like, uh-huh. Yep. I heard that. And now all of a sudden we feel better just for having shared it.
There's courage there.
There is, for sure. Yeah. It takes courage, you know. It's not something that's like, that's coming. We have this thing where if we just keep all of our thoughts and feelings and everything stuck inside of us all the time and we never share them, then in some way they're not of the same value. You know, they get more value when they're shared, when we exchange these things. So that is I feel like getting to the core of communication is, it's about sharing. It's about interacting. It's about the exchange of a thought, an idea, a feeling with another individual or group of individuals or group collectively to bring which part of the mind is it? There's a conversational side of what, I can't remember which part of the brain it is. Sorry, I'm just diving into my own little record. Is it the hippocampus? Or which? No, I can't remember which part of the brain
which
it is.
My brain is that?
Specifically, but the part of us that engages in that higher thought, the part of thought that's actually thinking and not just feeling. It's about listening to what's coming in, absorbing it, allowing it to become us, allowing that experience. It's like watching a movie. We're not actually in the movie, but we allow the movie to become us, or listening to a story. We allow that to become we imagine being part of the experience. And in that, we truly become part of the experience, and part of our brain absorbs it and processes it in a way that we now have that same experience, even though we truly didn't have it. We just heard a version of it. And that connectivity is so huge.
Definitely. It's interesting, right? Like, if we go to the direction of other forms of communication, like if I'm thinking about even like flirting, you know what I mean? Where you subtly touch a person, you know, you lean in a little bit, you hold eye contact for a little longer, and there's a little like sparkle there, you know, a little electricity, like that's a communication, you know what I mean? But until like, and of course there's some question marks there because it's not verbally communicated. Did I read that right? Is it, you know what I mean? Like those kinds of, how do we you know, read those? How do we do that? I mean, obviously we can just experiment, play, and we can decide to communicate verbally if we want to. But it's interesting how that, like, if we really reflect, like, that's a communication. If I think about eye contact in skydiving, in free fall with my teammates, like, we talked a lot through eye contact. You know what I mean? It's like there's no words there, but there's communication happening. So, I mean, it's weird because, again, it goes back to sort of what the goal is. I feel like it, right now we're really more reflecting on the forms and different ways of communicating that are possible. And the invitation, I think, for our listeners is, what is your goal? You know, what is your desire in terms of connection? What is your goal in terms of communication? Because maybe it is that verbal, I need to feel heard. I want to feel heard and seen and deeply connected because I just don't feel that. So I'd like to learn how to say that kind of, like, speak that kind of communication. Or maybe it's a different thing of like, oh, I feel like I just talk too much, but I'm driven by fear, you know? And so I'd like to sort of maybe sit back and rest easy and take some time with listening and eye contact and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it's more about, for me, the question of intentionality about what is it, what is your actual goal for connecting or having a life experience? So it doesn't even necessarily have to be life, doesn't even necessarily have to be connection. It can be a life experience that you want to have, a skill practice in terms of engaging with others that you want to have. So maybe that's verbal. Maybe it's not, you know, nonverbal. Maybe it's energetic in a situation, that type of stuff. Because I really believe all that's communication. You know, if I'm in a group of people, I'm not sharing, but I'm communicating my energy. You know, I'm showing up in an energy, whether it's brightness, whether it's love, whether it's excitement, you know what I mean? Like, whatever tone I'm bringing, whether I'm speaking it or not, I feel when I'm doing that, I feel I'm communicating with the world and other people who are around me, which sounds kind of weird, but I definitely do that. You know what I mean? And I've practiced that very deliberately to see how it impacts me and impacts others, whether I'm speaking or not.
There's also the sense of speaking about nonverbal communication is intentional or unintentional. You know, there's a huge amount of unintentional or just unconscious nonverbal communication that happens between humans all the time.
Definitely.
You know, simple act of averting the eyes, you know, or looking down at a phone or looking away to not make eye contact is an inadvertent nonverbal communication, you know, that I'm avoiding connection.
Yes.
Here. So it can go the other direction as well.
Absolutely. And we can use that if we desire to disconnect. So I certainly have used those types of things deliberately in terms of disconnection as well. Like, if there's a situation or a person I do not want to connect more deeply with, I will choose into disconnected communication. I think that's equally allowed, you know? So it really just depends on what we want. Because it's like, do I want to connect deeply with every human being? That's not actually my goal at this point in my life. And I mean that very, very seriously. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with those times when I choose disconnection as well.
So how about that weather?
The weather. You totally just threw me off. That's hilarious. Because I was like, wait, I don't understand. Oh.
Yeah. How about the weather today? Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, yeah, the weather. The fucking weather.
I am verbally communicating that I don't care to dive into any level of depth of conversation with you.
And it doesn't.
How about the weather?
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to mean it's, you know, a disrespectful move. It could just be that you are in a challenging emotional spot that day and you don't want to end up crying because you're feeling something. You know what I mean? Like, people have emotional days and sometimes they have to be out in the world and they don't want to touch anything emotional because they're fragile that day. You know what I mean? That's completely legit.
I might go the other way too and see, say that when, I might encounter somebody that I don't necessarily want to have a deeper connection with because I see that maybe their state is out of balance or, vibrating at a frequency that I don't really want to connect to, and or I would prefer to avoid. And so that intentional non-connectivity, is another form of communication to be like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, and that's it's interesting. I'm glad we are talking about this particular part because I used to think that was mean. I used to think there was like this judgmental tone around that. And that's part of how I ended up getting really burned out and how I basically ended up with sort of an unhealthy pattern of isolating myself and needing a lot of like isolated time before going out and connecting because I didn't understand, I didn't really know how to affect those sort of boundaries energetically or communicatively. And because I was thinking unconsciously, my brain was driving me to go, I have to connect deeply with all people, basically. I mean, that's sort of a very dumbed down version of what I would do. But when I would be out in the world, it would be like full on. I'm out to connect, to connect, to connect. And I love that. I still do that. But now I feel like I have a bit more of a mature understanding about protecting my energy and that being absolutely okay. Whereas historically, as a younger person, I really didn't understand that. And I felt bad, like I was judging another person, which is not what you're doing when you're protecting your energy.
Agreed. Yeah, very much so. Let me flip the conversation around a little bit
Cool.
just so we can kind of ping pong around the room.
Love it.
There's a couple of very, very interesting. We you touched on it earlier when you were talking about skydiving and eye contact, but this one actually goes a step beyond eye contact, and there's no eye contact, but it's body language. And I've had it a couple times that come to mind that are very f similar and dissimilar at the same time. So they're a great example. The first one is flying with my teammate Heath Richardson from back in the early days of PD Factory Team. I would follow him around the sky, and he would lead our two-man canopy formation towards the entry gates, and we would swoop and compete together as a performing team. And we would rarely have eye contact after we left the plane. He would have eye contact with the ground, the winds, the course, everything else that's going on that needs to be managed with our setup, and I would have con eye contact with him. And I would just look at the back of his head, his arms, his legs, and just read all the body motions and the little tiny indicators, just like the fingers relaxing for a second, or the fingers getting like little tiny movements of the fingers lifting up, getting ready to do something, or just starting to relax, or when the head would turn down to the side a little. I could see these little tiny things happening, and they always cued me as to what was going to happen next, based on having spent time flying together, that these little unconscious body motions, actions on his part were visual cues to me as to what he's thinking, feeling, where his points of focus are, and what that's going to lead to coming up in our future with the flight plan that we're on. Now, similarly, the other example is I follow my friend Charlie here in DeLand. Charlie Kenlin, he's one of our pilots here. We go and ride dirt bikes together, and we've been riding for quite a few years now, and he always leads. So it's a similar situation where I'm behind him. He doesn't look back very often. He's got his eyes on the trail ahead, and he's watching for where we're going. And the exact same sets of types of indications, just little. If the head starts to sweep out to the side, I can tell he's thinking about making a turn and might take that path instead of the one that we're on. Little bits of like, oh, if the shoulders start to lift up a little bit, it might be preparing to brake. And all these subtleties, they become things that we recognize without having to think about it. I don't, as the viewer, as the receiver of the information, I'm not in a conscious thought process about what is his body doing, what is that telling me, how should I respond. All of those things are happening at a subconscious level, right? Where they're automatic. The movement happens, the seeing the movement happens, recognizing what that movement means and knowing how to respond to it all happens at a completely subconscious level within myself. And my thoughts are still, my forethoughts are somewhere else about what's going on. It can even be detached from the moment that's happening and just playfully engaged in the experience of flow.
Sure.
And that type, I feel like that kind of communication, just those examples, are some of my absolute favorites when it comes to nonverbal communications.
Yeah, it speaks to intuition. One of the best books I've read on intuition is Malcolm Gladwell's book called Blink.
Yeah, I've read that too.
I love all of his work. I actually highly recommend every bit of his stuff. I think his work is really excellent. But Blink is cool because it gives you more insight into that level of communication and how our bodies and ourselves we have that ability to interpret what we are seeing at an unconscious level so intensely that it's like really, I mean, that's a whole episode in itself talking about that intuition on that level and really learning to trust it and read it and lean into it and use it actively, whether it's with a person, a situation, a whatever. It's anyway, I don't even know what to go forward with that on, otherwise it'll open up that massive rabbit hole. I just loved that book and think it gives people a really solid look and understanding into that piece of our ability to communicate and receive communications from the world and our situations.
I thought it was a fun read. It wasn't super sciencey. It was like kind of playful and allowed the reader to just kind of, more be in a conversation with the author at times, and have the storytelling going on along with information exchange. It's quite well written for that side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about connectivity? The unspoken, when you're like, we know the eye contact piece, right? When you can see each other and you're like looking at each other. I know you're telling me something.
You're not watching the YouTube.
So much comes from the face,
Yeah.
right? Little tiny, the eyebrows moving, the forehead moving, little crinkles, wrinkles, tension, yes,
I
nose,
personally want to learn more
yes.
about that. I actually don't even really know. I haven't done a ton of like active education on body language. You know what I mean? Like there are courses and stuff available on body language. You know what I mean? And I've listened to tons of podcasts over the years and educated myself that way. But do I have a hearty, real, and true understanding of body language? I would say the answer is no. I might do some things naturally, intuitively, whatever. And if I were to debrief myself in terms of my body language and stuff, do I cross my arms? I almost never cross my arms, because I want to communicate that openness, for example. So that's just one example of something I'm very aware of. And if I do this, cross my arms in terms of comfort or something, if I'm sitting somewhere, I almost always notice it immediately and go to a different way of holding my arms because I want to remain open.
I do the same thing. I notice, I oftentimes find that it's a very comfortable resting place to hook my hands in under my arms and I can just allow them to rest there. But I do realize that it does close me off. And therefore, most of the time when I'm in conversation, I'll make a point to allow them to rest open for the same reason. I notice a lot where the eyes are. I'm paying attention to it in myself.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to remember something and I'm looking up to my right and I'm like up into space, like trying to recall, I'm like, oh yeah, what is that? I'm trying to remember. My eyes kind of peel around the upper parts of my eyelid,
Yep.
looking into my brain to like try and find things that I've stored in there. And then the other one is when I'm looking up and left and trying to conjugate a thought, meaning I have an idea It's not a memory. It's a new idea. And I'm like grabbing the pieces out of the clouds and putting the pieces together to build what is going to be the whole thought. And that's somewhere up in the left. And then the like down and left and down and right, it's like shame or guilt or hiding or lying or any of these things where the eyes are down. It's the same thing with like a puppy. Mm. You know, when the puppy drops its eyes on the floor and looks at the ground and eyes start dodging, it's like averting gaze, averting contact. That's all related to wanting to avoid connection because there's some kind of guilt or shame going on there.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. When I also think about body language, I think about social situations and, say, standing around in a circle of some kind and the conscious choice to not square off with a person. Like, squaring off with a person can be intimidating in terms of body language. It can be totally awesome and connecting. So it's not a bad thing. It's more like if I'm reflecting on a social setting, for example.
If you're balanced people, right? Like if your energies are of equal kind of weight and value, then you can be squared off and it's not confrontational.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's not always confrontational per se, but it's also not inviting for other people. So if you stand and you open slightly, there's this openness to your conversation too, where you are allowing and inviting other people in. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. It would, again, go back to what is your intent and what is your goal in the situation? Because sometimes I square off very deliberately because I'm like, I'm with you. You know, like it's more of a like, this is intentional. We're talking about something specific. We're going for it. Let's do this. And we square off and we go for it. You know what I mean? And it sounds weird to say it like that. It's not meant to be like, okay, we're hunkering in and we go, but you know how it is when you're really like, I want to hear this and I'm listening and I'm sort of blocking out the rest of whatever is around us. That's a body language choice as well, you know? So I'm just, as I'm reflecting now on this, even though I don't have a whole lot of classic straight up education on it, and I haven't taken a class on body language, if I reflect on what I've learned over the years from podcasts and just what I have done and the results and the feelings that I get from those choices, because a lot of my work is very social, you know, my whole skydiving career is very social in an environment where there's lots of people around, there's organic connections happening all the time. There's an informality to the tone mostly. You know, if I think about, you know, we talked about networking and stuff like that. If I think about that, it's this more formal tone, but then you can bring in formality and you can, you know, bring in that. You know, it's basically you have to think about the situation you're in and when you're going to introduce those physical and or, you know what I mean? Those physical forms of communication. It just depends on the situation and stuff like that. I'm kind of rambling, but you know what I'm saying.
So you immediately made me think about how there's a right and a wrong time to use different types.
Sure.
Of like, and adding humor can be very, very appropriate. You know, it's like putting a little salt on some salad or something can be wonderful. But other times adding humor just kills the entire, you know, the energy that is existing in the communication at the time might not be the place or the time for that.
Yes.
As well as types of body language, you know, throwing around, you know, big aggressive body movements or unthoughtful body language in relationship to something that's quite, you know, emotionally weighted might not be the appropriate time to do that either. We learn those as we go through life, but in some ways they're hilarious on their own, right? Like when the inappropriate type of communication is added at the inappropriate time, it's always, almost always like, what in the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. And being situationally aware, that's a thing too, you know, because you don't necessarily want to use physical touch when that's not appropriate. You know what I mean? Like, that's definitely legit in my world. I don't want just random people touching me, period. You know what I mean? And I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that think that way, you know? So it's understanding that. And also going back to the courage point for a moment, the idea of inserting humor to diffuse tension in a scenario. This is more like a, it's definitely a communication skill, you know? It's also a, it can be driven by fear when people don't necessarily want to hang with the intensity of a certain tone of communication. And so we will make a joke to diffuse it, which sometimes is really high value, and other times it's, I'm scared, so I want to get out of this intense communication. So again, back to it, what is the goal? What is the intention of where you're at that moment? Yeah, because I use humor in my coaching work all the time for the purpose of diffusing tension when it serves the person I'm working with. You know, I use it in social settings when it serves and feels like it will serve. I also use it when I just enjoy it because I like humor and stuff like that. But yeah, it's all very complex, right? Because we could talk about this stuff all day long, and could we tell our listeners some exacting situation that they would use this exact thing? It's just, life is so infinitely complex. Of course we could never do that. You know what I mean? So it's ultimately comes back to ourselves and what we're wanting out of what we're doing and who we're connecting with.
When I think about our skydiving community, base jumping community, the black humor piece of it comes up a lot, right? Because there is a direct relationship to mortality when you exist in a place where, you know, you're in a flying environment. Flying can be very dangerous, or at least we understand that it's something that's not sustainable. You can't maintain flight forever. You have to land. And usually, if you're going at a high rate of speed, that can be pretty dangerous. So black humor gets tossed around a lot, especially inside of the base jumping world where I've spent a lot of my time in my life. And it can very much ease the tension in a situation that might be awkward. You know, everybody's kind of stuck in the in-betweens of communication, and humor will often get thrown around to help remind us that it's all just a ride, that it's just life, and there's no way in or out except through being born and dying. You know, there's only one way in, one way out. So we're all going on that same path, and we can just laugh about the how ridiculous we are on the in between of those two experiences. You know,
Well, that's true.
that's pretty
No
true.
truer statement hath been
Yeah.
spoken on Trust the Journey. How
Captain
ridiculous, Nick.
Ridiculousness has spoken.
Yeah. I mean, it's so cool. If I go back again to the courage piece and we go back to the conversational style of communication, I think about transparency as an intention. I think about the courage it takes to be seen and heard. I also think about, and this is something Brené Brown says, 'cause I also don't necessarily advocate going out and just being super deep and vulnerable with j
What?
yeah, I mean, I do in my writing, in my work, but that's different. I because what she talks about is t she mentions how not everybody has earned that level of vulnerability. You don't know if you're safe, emotionally safe, to share at that depth of vulnerability with a person unless you've earned that trust with them. Certainly, there are ways to inch into that level of trust. And so it's something to keep in mind. Like, if you, I don't know if I feel like I used to do this because I really love deeply connecting with people. I'm a huge fan. I love the keeping it real. I'm happy to meet people in the depth of sharing and stuff like that. But there's this other side of that coin as well where we overshare with the to Russia connection. So I've seen that a lot too. And so it's okay to do that, but if we don't have awareness of our doing that, we then theoretically can put ourselves at emotional risk with people that we don't necessarily know are quote unquote safe to share at that depth. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It just made me realize that I used to do that
I
quite a bit.
definitely used to do it.
Oh my gosh, I just had a wave of memories go, oh man, I used to overshare all the time in order to rush connection
Yeah.
because I always wanted a deeper connection
Wanted the
with
deeper
people. And
connection. Yeah.
yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
And for me, it was
Interesting.
also driven by fear of isolation and fear of disconnection. So that was definitely there for me too. It was both a desire to connect, but also it was a fear of being separate, which is something I've worked a great deal on for sure, and feel now at ease that I can have patience in building a connection. If I am intuitively called to share deeply right away, then I'm allowed to do that as well. You know what I mean? But it's when it's unconscious that we can get ourselves into a communication sort of awkward situation where we actually create disconnection because the fear has driven us to overshare.
You've got me thinking about an interesting form of communication that is, at times, I suppose it's intentional, but it's non-directional, in a sense where the communication isn't like I'm not directing it at you. I'm more directing it to the direction that I'm headed in, or the goal that I'm trying to achieve, or in an embodiment of an idea. And through the enaction, through the action taken to enact the direction of movement, all the things that are necessary to achieve this goal by becoming this person, you communicate with others in that way through example,
For sure.
right? So that's a really unique one. I was just listening to what you were saying, and I started thinking about leaders, whether it be like role model leader, somebody like Martin Luther King. He's got a great voice, speaks powerfully, excellent verbal communicator, passionate. I mean, you just listen to the words and they reverberate for decades, generations. The words carry on. But it's also through other types of leaders that don't necessarily use words, and it's just their actions, whether they're overcoming their own fear. So here's a recent one, right? Alex Honnold, okay, in the news a lot lately for the movie Free
Free
Solo, for
solo.
free climbing El Cap,
Yep.
okay? So why so popular? Why does anybody care if a guy climbed up a rock without a rope? Who cares, right? We care because here's a man overcoming his own fear of mortality, right? And that communication, if I can overcome my fear, you can overcome your fear, is like an echo that we pick up from that example. That's a really unique means of communication that exists within the human race that's non-directional, as in I'm not speaking to Melanie. This is Jay speaking to Jay, or in this situation, it's Alex speaking to Alex, right? He's not doing that for me or for you or for anybody. It's 100% for him. But in his action to do that, there is an outgoing wave of energy that we can receive and accept as a communication,
100%.
right? It's a very unique and powerful one.
That premise alone, what you just described, motivates so much of what I do in my
Massive.
work as a
Yes.
someone who wants to create, as someone who stands for living our lives, like being it, I think about that a lot, and I feel that connection, excited and empowered connection to when I live my life courageously and I do what I want per se, and whatever, act in alignment with my values, yada, 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 however we say that every time we talk about it.
I do what I
Do what I
want.
want, but really, I think about that. And anytime I start to get caught up in my own mind about, fear or trying to, o or starting to overthink something or whatever. That's a big thing. It feels of service to me, like to do what I want, Does that make sense? Like that leadership by example, I believe because of people like Alex and other people that I witness in the world that are doing what they want per se, aka courageously living in alignment with their values, courageously self-expressing, yada, 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 all those things. That makes me go, I don't know if I'll be of service, but I know I might be. So I'm excited that I'm going to do what I want. So there's that both sides, and the potentiality of that leadership excites me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that anytime that anybody steps into their own achievement mode, meaning freely attacking the areas within their own life, within their own interest that challenge them, that they motivate others around them to do the same thing. And you can see it in every walk of life. It doesn't matter what the example is,
Agreed.
from the smallest to the biggest, the scale is irrelevant.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
I want to quickly come back around to this powerful spoken conversation, back to the verbal again. I'm having some ums today because I have a lot of thinking going on.
I know this is an episode where I feel like really real time. We're working and we're talking about this. We're thinking through it. I kind of love that too about trust the journey though. Is that's part of our goal,
I do.
is to real time show like we don't necessarily own these topics,
One of my, not one, but many of my favorite role models, heroes, communicators, to communicate, like specifically, Alan Watts, I've mentioned before,
Love it.
one of my heroes, a communicator. That's his whole life description. He's a wordsmith, right? Terence McKenna was another one that I've mentioned as well. Wordsmiths, people who dive into the depths of language and creativity and take deep, meaningful thought. That's that deeper connection stuff we were talking about earlier. Take that deep, meaningful thought, turn it into a few words or many words that might spur those deep, meaningful thoughts within others in order to create that deeper connection, but not always as a, hey, I want you to connect with me, but more as let's connect. It's referring to the whole, referring to all, and here's what connects us,
Yes,
and here are the pieces.
100%. That's definitely something that I live and try to do in my creative work and my writing and stuff like that. Elizabeth Gilbert is a perfect example, talking about people who have inspired us in that way. She's a similar person. She's a writer, and her words have supported me through my life in such an intense way. I feel very connected to her specifically. And I feel so like the true feeling that I have received from her writing is feeling genuinely less alone in the world because I feel, oh my God, she gets this painful experience or this emotional charge or whatever. That is so powerful, like you just said, in terms of connecting us to a bigger collective, which is so supportive. In life, like it's so supportive to feel like we are connected with other people, that we're not alone. Like it's a big deal. At least it has been in my life.
Alan Watts has definitely done that for me, where when I listen to his speaking, I immediately find the words within myself. Those words that I'm hearing are echoing, whether it's almost as though that I wish that I had spoken them so that they could have been my words because they would have done such a great job of sharing how I was feeling or wishing to connect or wanting to express,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah. It's
it's a
as a writer, as someone who also really likes words, I mean, I definitely primarily work in words and verbal, you know, whether it's in writing, whether it's in conversation, like we said at the beginning of the call, I like that I can get, I like that there is access there, you know, to finding ways to connect and finding ways to access and experience courage. You know, like if I really find the words to express my experience without judgment, you know, with detachment, with openness, but with that vulnerable courage, that's exciting and cool. And I like that that's a skill that I've leaned into my life. Like if I think about my book and how it is, my book that recently came out is a collection of my columns from basically 2010 to today. And it's interesting and cool to see my evolution as a writer, right? And how I was not as rich as a younger person, and how I really worked hard to get to depth of sharing that wasn't me oversharing, that was still me being of service in the share, finding the words that felt not self-serving, like, oh, just see me for my whatever I'm doing and whatever I'm feeling, but this is my story, and I hope that you see yourself in that story such that it helps you.
It's very interesting. I've been observing my change as well in both in my interest and willing, not just willingness, but desire to communicate more accurately the intention that is truly being wished to express. Mm-hmm. For many years, I struggled with sharing, choosing the wrong words to try and express what I wanted and not getting the exchange that I was desiring and having it received and always feeling misunderstood.
Yep.
Because the exchange just never came back the way that I just felt, always felt misunderstood. I'm like, okay, well, I put my heart out there or tried to, you know, express something that was inside and it wasn't received in the way that I would have desired it to be. So then it was kind of a failure to communication. And so the intention, the practice going forward is to get better at that practice of communicating so that the what is received is accurate to what's trying to be expressed. But that takes the willingness to fail miserably in those attempts because yes. Sometimes they're just way off the mark, you know?
Oh, it's so true. It also speaks to the skill of the listener and the reflector of being able to empathetically put yourself in another person's shoes as they are sharing and really trying to imagine what they are feeling and why it is understandable and logical about what they are experiencing and feeling. That is something I talk about a lot, acknowledging and validating another person's experience and feelings as a critical step to creating that connection and diffusing of fear if there is fear there for people or conflict is there. You know, so if we talk about even conflict conversations where a person is all hopped up or upset in some form, whether it's anger and frustration or whether it's sadness or confusion or whatever quote unquote conflict emotion, that step of really hearing and aiming to reflect back to a person what you feel like you have heard and what you think and feel like you are hearing them say as their experience, going back to listening and having another first person feel heard and seen, that step, if we skip that step, the emotion of the person sharing is still high, is still up and blocking them. So theoretically at that point, solution-based communication and connecting communication is still blocked by that emotion. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Being received, though, will lower it, right?
Totally. That's the idea.
As soon as you allow somebody or we are allowed to be heard in our experience of the, you know, troublesome emotion, then it immediately
Yes.
Down it goes, right?
Correct.
And you're able to start to converse in a more powerfully, in a truly meaningful manner,
yeah,
a connective manner. Yeah.
And it's hard because when someone comes at us, and this is basically the seminar I gave at PIA on navigating conflict. It's just one of the things that we talked about, but it can be easy to get triggered and fearful ourselves in the face of somebody else coming at us with any kind of quote unquote negative emotion. So it's, if we really want to up our communication connectivity game, as it were, I would invite people to work on that skill alone. Like if they take anything away from this session of this podcast of what's something I can actually do and work on, is I tend to see that as being a very powerful skill once people actually get and they don't feel afraid of when a person comes to them in a heightened emotional state. Once they have that skill of like, I'm cool, whatever emotion is coming at me, I can navigate that. I'm capable. I have this conversational skill of creating space and openness for this person to feel seen and heard without us. It doesn't mean we agree with everything a person says, but reflecting back and acknowledging and validating those experiences and feelings can be a very powerful starting point for solutions.
You used the words get caught up in to describe. And when I have these experiences, very often the experience for me can be somewhat empathic, meaning if somebody's having a heightened state, they're angered, I might immediately feel that state and I become heightened, where it's just a reflection. I'm just absorbing that energy and might have nothing to do with what's going on, but immediately feel that. And that can be in any circumstance. I had it just the other day where I was walking past somebody and they were angry at the world. Mm. Just angry at the world. Just in a really like, just like grimacing, lips clenched, you know, forehead biting, and just walking in a close proximity past them, I was suddenly angry.
Oh, wow.
I found myself going, oh, I don't like that. And I didn't like them because I was reflecting that anger energy back at them that was coming off of them, but whatever, they were frustrated at the time. And I got a few steps further by and it started to fade. And I'm like, wait a second, I don't even know that person. I'm not angry at them. But I sure felt like a few seconds ago, I was feeling angry at them for being angry at whatever they're angry at,
right?
You know, but so that when you say get caught up in, that's very much the case. It's an entanglement situation where there's this chaotic energy that's going around. And if you get too close to it, it's going around you.
Yeah.
It's getting in your aura per se, you know, and it's messing up your field. So watch out for how. Just to be observant, when I say watch out, what I mean, like literally watch for your own experience in relationship to others as you go through your day to day, especially when it's people that you have no connection to at all, and start reflecting on the communication that's coming in and that you're receiving and becoming because of these connective fields that we all have in relationship to each other.
Yeah. I had this funny experience the other day where I went to the supermarket. Just wait, this is a good one. I went to the supermarket and I didn't get that many things. I got like, whatever, a handful of things, but I was pretty excited. I was going to have my tzatziki, my crackers, and it was like, I wanted this food. I had gone to the gym. Anyway, my point is, I get to the supermarket, I go up to the checkout line, and there's this really long line going from one of the registers, and most of the other registers are open and their lights are on. And I'm like, oh, you know, I note it, and I go up to the register, I put my stuff on the belt, and it turns out that the like system is down, it's cash only, and I have no cash. So I'm like, oh my god, okay, so that's why everybody's in this giant line. So I really wanted my food. I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand in the long ass line. Okay. I bring this up on an episode with communication because it is wildly apparent what that we have a choice of how to be in that scenario. So I'm thinking it's an adventure. I'm like, this is hilarious. I am right now living this comical, stupid life story that I'm going to get to tell my friends and laugh about. But if I really look at it and I go, what did I bring to that situation? I brought my lightness. I brought my sense of adventure into this line. I brought my humor. And I also, when I really got up to the line and I was paying after, like, not joking, 40 minutes or whatever of waiting in this line, the poor guy at the checkout counter and the other people who have, I'm surely been dealing with people who are upset and pissed off. And, you know, there's this other lady coming up going, saying all these things that are not kind, you know, and I intentionally am going, you know, there are worse things in the world than waiting in a long line, you know, like, and I really believe that. But I saw how that impacted, even just saying that alone, just being that and really meaning it, made that moment for them better. And I like that. I like that I intentionally bring that stuff to situations where people would normally feel triggered into a negative state and then deliver that negative communication, which just magnifies the negative feelings and all of the stuff. Whereas we can be like, does this really matter? I have an iPhone. I can email. I can text if I want to. No big whoop. You know, so anyway, it's all a decision. Obviously, I could have left the store if I wanted to as well, if I wanted that time, but I didn't need to. So I used it as an opportunity to infuse the situation with positive energy and positive communication.
It's a beautiful self-awareness piece, right? When we know that we always have the option to make any situation into either a positive or a negative, right?
Definitely.
We can look at that example of the line, and I wasn't sure for a second there. I thought you were going to tell me the story of how there was all these people in the line bitching and complaining, you know, and having that Far Side cartoon type, you know, lineup of negativity, and here comes Melanie. Hi, are you in the line? You know, I'm so stoked to be here.
Laughing at the scenario we were in, sharing this adventure. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it's where you were bringing that point to is so powerful. And I think that it's a wonderful place to really kind of top this whole conversation of communication with, as kind of the cherry to it all, is that in every moment, in every day of our lives, we are always communicating with others, whether we're considering that we're doing it or not. Right? It's either intentional or unintentional, but it's going on. When it's intentional, we are cognizant and choosing the way that we're communicating. Now, are we choosing to do so in a positive way? Or are we choosing to do so in a negative way? Well, maybe we're not always cognizant or conscious of how we're choosing it, but it's certainly something that we can focus on becoming more aware of and then making a proactive choice towards, you know, positive communication, because all it does is come right back to us. This is the secret, right? And we all know the secret is if you're happy, happiness comes back to you. Well, happiness isn't a state of being. It's an emotion that comes and goes, right? But positivity is a state of being. It's something we choose into. We decide, okay, I'm going to choose to put laughter into this instead of a frown or a complaint. And now this has the polarity of the unconscious, when we're not necessarily aware that we're communicating with others, but we are. How do we make our choices when we are alone? What are our thoughts, feelings, actions when we don't intentionally, or we are not in the presence of another that we're choosing to communicate with? Because that is only going to echo inside of our own echo chamber. Yeah. It's going to become who we are. So if we make choices that are surrounding positivity, things that are good for me, things that make me feel good. So your example that you just said about, well, if I made the guy in line feel good, the cashier or the person standing next to me who was also waiting, I put a smile on their face, and then I got a smile on mine, and now we all three of us are smiling, and the cashier's smiling, then everybody's smiling. That's beautiful, conscious, positive communication changing the energy of the people around you towards positivity. And that also applies to us in our day to day, in our time working alone, in our time interacting, in every single opportunity there is to just be alive.
Yeah, for real. And that's the thing, is that doing that stuff in with yourself when you are alone is we are always communicating with ourselves as well. You know what I mean? So what we say and then what we do and that type of self-communication, whether it's active conscious thought or whether it's actions that we are doing in our integrity with ourselves, you know, that's, again, I feel like that's another episode in its entirety as well, which I would actually love to do, that type of communication with ourselves. And yeah, but go ahead.
So let me throw out one that's an example for people. So how you can carry this into your day-to-day practice. Okay. So when you're alone, how do you communicate to yourself in an unconscious way? Well, it's got to start with some kind of consciousness, but it can become unconscious if you practice it. So I would use the example of posture, sitting up straight, or considering your posture. So if you're making a point to be aware of what your lower back is doing, what your mid back, what your upper back is, where your shoulders are, where your neck is, just while you're doing your life, while you're just being you, if you're aware of your own posture, you take some time practicing that. Posture is body language. Body language tells others how we're feeling and what our state of being is. So if I'm all slumped down like this all the time, or I'm hunched forward all the time, then I'm becoming that. That's telling my body what I want to be more of, because that's what I'm doing. And if I practice posture that actually considers my best interest in the long term, which involves keeping my neck straight and my chin tucked back a little bit and lifting my chest but keeping my ribs tucked in, all these things are going to contribute towards healthy, resonant energy going outward, which is also coming back to myself. So that's a simple body language communication that we can work with on our own that has nothing to do with anybody else.
Now, I always like to think, what things that we do for others, how can we also do that for ourselves? So if I'm bringing lightness and hilarity to a line in the supermarket, I also bring it to my own life. I definitely laugh with myself at home, alone, by myself. My weirdo-ness doesn't only show up in public situations. Oh my God. But guys, seriously, I mean, we say it every week, but for real, the communication of gratitude at the end of these shows is real. Thank you so much for being with us and being a part of our Trust the Journey family.
If you receive value from this episode, please help us out and pay it forward by sharing it online or with anybody that you think it might help.
Yeah. And we've been talking about the Patreon group that we've started. So that's another option, another way to support this project. If you're getting value and you want to, you know, be a member and be a part of that private Facebook group, you know, $1 a month, whatever you feel inspired to contribute is great. And that'll get you in there and in this expanded conversation with us.
We have a goal with Patreon to bring our group to 50 members. So when we get our group to 50, what we're going to do is we're going to switch our bi-weekly production of Trust the Journey to a weekly production. Now, the reason we've chosen this goal is because this is a big job. It takes a lot of commitment and effort and time on our behalf to produce the content, to make the commitment, to follow through and get everything out there. And to start doing it on a weekly level is going to be a pretty intense amount of workload on us. So it's got to have some community connection to it all.
Yeah, really, and that's the goal. That's why we did Patreon as well, is because of the mission part of that, is that you know, yes, we need that financial element to help us continue and really rise and grow, which is super cool. And I'm excited about that. But the community element and how Patreon is structured is all about creating community, which is super cool. So yeah, guys, but anyway, really and truly, however you are inspired to join, if it's just continuing to listen, if you share an episode here or there, cool. No matter what, thank you so much for being with us. And we love you so much.
Keep laughing.
Yeah.
Keep loving. Keep trusting the journey.
Yes.